Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
PM team, Chris Muller solo, Andrew Filippone, a well-deserved day off today. The hardest working man in Pittsburgh radio, in my estimation, is my co-host. Second hardest working man in radio is Craig Riley, who's on the other side today on the ones and twos. About the 715th hardest working man in radio is the man talking to you, and that is called hustling, my friends. We've got Mike DeFabo, the PG, at 325. We've got Doran Dickerson at 425. And right now, we've got our buddy Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider of the Post-Gazette, joining us to talk a little shop here about Major League Baseball. Afternoon, Jason. What's up?
Not too much, Chris. Good to hear you. I can't believe you guys gave Pony a day off, but I guess I'll have to be okay with that.
Yeah, I protested it at first, but then I felt like it was the least we could do for him, I guess.
Gotcha.
So there's that. So something we do, I know you can't believe that this happens in radio. Sometimes you go on a rant, and it's a speculative rant, and you wonder how much truth there is to what you're saying because there's no way of ascertaining on your own maybe the nature of the truth. So I opened the show ripping Major League Baseball, saying they had already, in my estimation, done some damage to the product by not doing a lot more a lot earlier in this process, like substantively. And I'm talking in March, really hammering out stuff and making contingencies for the long term, trying to project for the future because this was obviously going to be a slow slog. And my problem with it was it felt like a kid now getting this deal done, trying to get this deal done. It feels like a kid cramming to do a paper in college the night before it's due. How valid, in your estimation and in what you've heard, is that idea that baseball dragged its feet a little bit about seriously dealing with this right from the start?
I agree with 50% of what you just said.
Okay.
And where I break down is the second part of it, because this isn't a kid cramming to get a paper done. I mean, a kid cramming to get a paper done actually puts forth some sort of work. And I'm not saying Major League Baseball isn't trying or isn't – I don't know. I just it irritates me the lack of progress that it seems like we've made here. You know, the owners dragged their feet for a certain amount of time. My suspicion was that it was intentional to try to back the players into a corner. They turn over a terrible financial proposal, one they had to have known was not going to go over well. The players rip it up, and the players now are in the process of putting something together to ship back to the owners that we basically know at this point is going to be equally as unpalatable just to the other side. And to me, that doesn't show any sort of meaningful progress in negotiations. And to your earlier point, Chris, I like what you said a lot, and I think you're spot on there with what is that agreement? What did that accomplish? I've been thinking about that a lot in the past couple of days because it just stinks. It's terrible. Like, how do two very litigious organizations put their heads together and come up with a document that neither one of them can agree on how you interpret? Like, how does that happen? One looks at it one way, the other looks at it another way, and that's the crux of this argument. And I just, it baffles me that we could even get to this point.
Well, I think my problem with that is I would assume that if you're being, you're very litigious, right? You're also making things formal when you talk about them. If it's a proposal that is supposed to be held as binding, you write it in as such, and like parties have to sign off on it as such. If it's not binding, then you don't do that. So the fact that neither side has any sort of documentation here, I guess, supports the idea that it wasn't binding, because you would hope that one side, you know, would sign off on it. It just sounds like they're posturing, is I guess my point here. The players say, like, we talked about this, and this is what we think we agreed to. The owners say, whoa, we were just talking here. I didn't put a ring on it, so to speak.
But if you read the language of that agreement, it's weak. It's not what you're talking about. It's not – if your point as the Players Association is we're only going to accept prorated salaries, and, like, that's such an important demand – stomp your foot, put it in 72-point font. My goodness, do something. And if you're the owners and you're saying, look, we're not agreeing to prorated salaries here, I just want to make sure that you're aware, like, that this is for a situation with fans. If we don't have fans, look, we're talking again. And put that in 72-point font. Like, somehow we've fallen into this, like, nebulous middle ground. That's the part that kills me. Like, I don't think the players are wrong for sticking by their beliefs. I don't think the owners are wrong for trying to, you know, this is a business. Like, regardless of what you think of them, they're trying to turn a profit. And if they don't think they can do that, then I understand wanting to do it a different way.
Jason Mackey joining us right now, and he's on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. What is in your mind right now, because I know this, like everything else, is changing with baseball's, you know, attempt at returning. What is the new sort of drop dead day where they have to get something done or this starts to become just unfeasible?
As I understand it, Chris, I mean, it's still next week. You know, I think part of the problem here is that it isn't hard and fast. Like, you can technically kick the can a little bit. Everything I've heard is they would like to have something in place by next week. The further along we get and what I see and observe, I have some serious doubts whether that's going to happen. And what I mean by that first part, I guess being a little bit soft, is if something is not finalized by next week, they very well could extend it. And I think they could probably go semi-comfortably another 2 weeks. You know, I hesitate saying that because we all are kind of, you know, I think there's a real societal expectation that this thing could pick up again in the fall, so you don't want to be playing too long. But, you know, if they've got to kick the can another 2 weeks, sad as it is to say, I think they can do it.
The longer they kick the can down the road, what does that tell us about the whole thing, Jason? If they keep trying to push this further and further back, does that shed any light on either side's position?
I think it sheds light on the position that they're not that they're really scraping by to get something done, and I question whether that's going to happen. I feel like if we're going to get something done, they should be able to get it done by next week, that you're going to be able to find that common ground. Like, what sort of common ground do you need, like, 2 extra weeks to figure out? You're either philosophically on the page of playing baseball during a pandemic or you're not. If we would need that, though, I mean, I guess it tells me there's some sort of loose ability to work together, which should be seen as good for the 2020 negotiations. But I don't know. My voice is going up there, Chris, because I don't feel tremendously confident in that answer either.
How feasible is this player idea of playing a 100-game season, adding games to the projected total that most people thought they'd be able to get in?
A 100-game season I could potentially see. I've seen 110 floated and as many as 120. I don't see that. You know, we've talked about 82, and that's with basically no additional games. So if you want to throw an extra doubleheader a week on there, if that's something that is going to be a bargaining chip, I could see that. I think that's reasonable. I think logistically they can do it. Where it breaks down for me, and again, this is going to come back to owners opening their books to players and being a little bit more forthcoming with their accounting, which is another issue here, but they're saying they're losing a ton of money. So if they're going to say, let's just go with that strand of logic that they're losing $640K a game, which they leaked to the AP, why would they all of a sudden be okay with 18 or 28 more games? That doesn't make sense. Like, that doesn't push the argument in the way that they want to go. So I don't know. I guess it comes down to, you know, what do those books actually look like? Is that 640,000 figure, you know what? I don't know.
You think we ever see a situation where those books get open? Because
no.
That's like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction right now. You know, one side can see it and it's glowing and everybody else wants to know what's in there, but doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
What I don't understand, Chris, and no, I don't think we'll ever see that, but I don't understand why the players can't see it. Like, I understand why owners, and maybe it's the fear, you know, if you show the players, like, they don't think it's going to stop at the players. I guess I get that, but, like, your employees, your very high-paid employees, the people on which your business depends, are saying, like, look, we'll be reasonable. All we're asking you is to show us, like, why this happens. We're asking you to show us why you're losing all this money, where you're losing all this money. And they won't do it.
Doesn't that automatically cause you to be suspicious? I know,
yes.
It does me. It would make me, if somebody asked me, hey, Chris, and I was on that side of it, can you show me exactly why you have to do this, this, and this from a financial standpoint? And I said, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that, actually.
Right.
I wouldn't blame them for saying you're hiding something from me, or there's something in those papers you don't want me to see.
I know, dude. It's like going through PSA security at the airport. Like, I do that all the time. And if you get stopped or searched or whatever, I'm like, I don't care. Do whatever you want, man. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong here. You know, if you're guilty, if you're innocent, don't act like you're guilty. It's not a problem. Just show them. But I guess I understand the fear that the documents or the book opening wouldn't stop with the players. But I feel like, man, if you're going to, like, die on this hill of losing money, you got to give these guys a little bit to sort of understand where you're coming from.
Pirates insider Jason Mackey, a couple more minutes with him here on the PM team. My opening thought was, how much damage has the sport already done to itself? Is this a situation where even if they play a truncated season here, Jason, and they get sports back and there's a certain happiness that swells because it's just something to watch, do you think the sport has sustained, just by the pandemic happening at all, even more permanent damage to its overall kind of core base?
You mean if they actually play?
If they play, but the fact that it was such an odd situation that developed, obviously. Like, let me frame this up a little better so you have the context of where mentally I'm coming from. The idea that it's an aging fan base, an aging core fan base that is not, to my understanding of the situation, getting any younger. They're having trouble attracting younger fans. It always skews older for the playoffs when they're supposed to be making the most TV money that they can at any point in the year. It just feels like whether this, you know, negotiation had been handled better or not, on some fundamental level, a pandemic hitting right now did baseball no favors for the long term.
I gotcha. Yeah, and you know what? They haven't done themselves many favors either. You know, this is an opportunity to eliminate the squawking and, like, get back before everybody else and be something that people will talk about. Like the Premier League, for instance. You know, like, not that they're trying to, like, oh, we got to be first back in America or what. Like, it's just going to be something, and we're going to talk about it. Baseball could have been that. It could have been bigger than that, because I think at the heart of a lot of people, they want to like baseball. But baseball has unfortunately given them way too many reasons to tune it out. And that's either, like, it's screwed up financial situation, the Pirates and what they've done, or games are too long, or whatever. You know, it's just like, this could have been a reason for a lot of people to again care about baseball. But to answer your question, I don't think it has alienated the like hardcore baseball fans. I think if you're a baseball fan, you're sort of accustomed to a certain amount of complaining and griping and like union garbage. I think there's honestly probably more of an appetite for it, or like a tolerance for it, than maybe me being someone who is new to covering the sport and like observing all this stuff. Like, it amazes me how many hairs we're going to split with this union stuff. Like, I'm coming from the NHL side of things where it's completely different. But I don't think it's alienated its hardcore fan base. I think it's just kind of frittered away an opportunity.
Last one here. You mentioned it's been really widely discussed that Tony Clark seems in over his head as the players' union head. Do you think that the overall way that these kind of negotiations play out would be better, in a way, for both sides, if there was a true labor lawyer an experienced person running the player's side of it? Don Fear, for example, who was for a long time?
I don't, like, I like Tony Clark. And I think the person who's the head of the Players Association needs to be comfortable kind of being a jerk at times. And, you know, you're not always going to look and sound cool, but you're standing up for, you know, people and things, and I recognize them as being important. Where I think Tony Clark probably does himself no favors is reacting to things and then, like, sort of really relishing talking. I feel like the worst thing that anybody in baseball can do right now is talk. Like, nobody wants to hear you. Shut up. And that doesn't mean that your cause is not important. It doesn't mean that you guys shouldn't, like, negotiate and get together and figure things out. It's just like, I don't want to be hearing Tony Clark right now. I don't want to be reading quotes from Tony Clark right now. All I want to do, if I'm a baseball fan, is see games on the field and whatever makes that happen sooner. So, like, I guess that's a way of saying that, like, I think Tony Clark's good at his job. I just think maybe somebody who had a little bit better perspective on how to do this in a seamless way might help.
Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider from the Post-Gazette, thank you as always. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, man. You too. Take care, Chris.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no. I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.